the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain tide rolls around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to wild mountain time, all around the blooming heather. Will you go?
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Caithness Craft Collective. This week I'm going to tell you about Caithness dialect. The blether is going to be on inspiration, and I will update you on what the collective and myself have been up to this week in Caithness. So firstly, I'll tell you the news. This is a slightly new section. Maureen has made it back from base camp on Everest. If you remember from episode 2, I was making her a good luck card for her. I made her a mountain. No, I didn't actually make her a whole mountain. I don't think I would manage to post it. I needle-felted a little picture of Everest, or my interpretation, and there is a picture somewhere on Flickr. So she made it back. Unfortunately, she got stuck on the way home due to the volcanic ash disruption. For those that don't know, and don't know how you couldn't know, a volcano blew up in Iceland and it put out a huge plume of ash, as they tend to do, and it disrupted Europe's airspace for a week. They were very worried that if you flew into it, your plane would stop working, so therefore they grounded everything, and it wasn't much fun for anybody at all who was disrupted. And if you were one of those, I hope you have made it home okay, or has not disrupted you too much. But Superwo made it to base camp on Everest, and we're very proud of her, and well done to her. The next crack is the house martins have flown back. It might not be big news to you, but it is to me. I spotted them first yesterday, and it's a welcome back visitor to Caithness for the summer. We normally have 3 nests on our house, and yes, they do poop all over my washing, but I like them because they keep me entertained of a summer windy day when they're fleeing about out there. Thirdly, I had a message from Dee Dee on Ravelry, and she absolutely delighted me. It means that there is somebody out there listening, and she hails from San Francisco, which is really cool. She made my day, actually. I'd had quite a long, hard day with the Bairns. Husband had me working until 10 o'clock, and I got this lovely message saying, I enjoyed listening to you, which was very nice. So thank you very much, Dee Dee. If there's anybody else out there, just drop me a line and I'll say hello to you too. Now, Dee Dee got me thinking because she sort of said that she couldn't understand or she couldn't tune into my accent at first. She has done now, and hopefully, Dee Dee, you're still there. But I'm going to go even more Caithness this week, so hang on to your hats. Because Caithness has got quite a distinctive accent. It almost sounds Irish. It's not all Brigadoon throughout Scotland. We've got a lot of diverse accents. Some of them are broad, some of them aren't so, some of them are very strong, some of them are slow. If you go to the West Coast, they don't have a word for mañana. There is nothing that urgent. But Caithness has I quite like it. Obviously, I'm a slightly biased in that respect. When you go somewhere else, somebody says, where are you from? And you can say, well, I'm from Caithness, and they always say, oh, I thought you were Irish. However, there is a lot of poetry written in the Caithness dialect. And I had a look on caithness.org, which is a very wonderful website for all things Caithnessy. If you need to know about anything Caithnessy, tourist-wise or local-wise, go on it. If we don't know, we'll make it up for you. www.caithness.org. So, I found a poem, and there are quite a few, and I might read a few more as the weeks go on. But this one made me kind of laugh, because it's called The Lobster Fisher's Dilemma. And as you know, we have a boat, and today he was out catching lobsters. And this one is by a guy called James Begg, and he's sadly deceased in 1992, and he was called the Bandit. And that to me sounds kind of funny. I'll read it to you and see what you think. There is a glossary on caithness.org. I'm not going to tell you exactly what everything is because I'd be here all day. And we've only got half an hour. 'Twas on a sunny April day, Alan and Peter sailed away to look at their creels at Strome Isle. It would only take a little while. Off we set in Peter's boat, no finer yarl was e'er afloat. They set their course for Langatoon, before the ebb came roaring down. But the tide they had misjudged a bit, because the flood was running yet. So back they went to Wardigo for a flask of tea, then back they'd go. Now Alan, he'd scoffed his tea first, because he'd had a powerful thirst. But Peter's bogie, his was sore, he'd had too much beer the night before. His poor gums, they were aching too, the yon false choppers in his moo. So Peter whipped his falsers out, and rolled them in an oily clout. The warm tea helped soothe Peter's bog. He licked his lips like any dog. Then he put his engine into gear. The slack tide it was very near. Big lobsters were in Peter's heed, as he threw off his crust of bread. He saw them floating on the swell. He saw that oily rag as well. He turned the boat as fast he could, but it didna do him any good. The oily rag was gone from view, and so were Peter's false teeth too. Now, every day when the weather's fit, Alan and Peter go back there yet, and what they're looking for all the while is a lobster with a bright white smile. I think that's really funny. I was really, really tempted to change Peter into Richard, and then it could be my husband and Sarah's husband going off to look for these lobsters. But I've read it as it is, and it's very fine too. Do go on and have a look at them, because they're quite funny. But read them out, because then you'll hear the Caithness accent. They don't make any sense unless you read them out. Also, for a slight glossary, bog is your belly, and it's one of my favourite all-time words ever, and it is a Caithness word for your belly. Another Caithness word that is more than famous is scory, and it is for a seagull. Also, thinking about Caithness dialect, people often ask me, do you speak Gaelic? And no, I don't. We weren't taught it in Wick High School, and it wasn't in Thurso High School. I believe there is a Gaelic medium in Thurso these days, but I don't know if they have a Gaelic teacher in either high school. It's a historical thing, as Caithness was ruled by Norway, the Vikings, up until the 12th or 13th century. And they never ever taught us Gaelic. So we are quite delighted to announce that the Mod is coming to Caithness. Now, the Mod is a Gaelic festival of all things Gaelic. And they sing and they talk and they play musical instruments. It's very Scottish. It's exactly what you'd think. It's way up there with Brigadoon. It's been held on the 8th to the 10th of October, and it's www.caithnessmod2010.co.uk for further information. There's been a bit of trepidation and people kind of going, well, we don't speak Gaelic, why do we want it up here? But we are in Scotland, therefore it's part of our heritage as a whole. And when I was in Oban, don't listen to this bit, Mum, they had drinking hours. The licence was to stupid o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 24-hour drinking. And it was stupendous. It was a beautiful week. And the weather was really kind to us, and people were coming off the boats from the Isles, speaking Gaelic, left, right and centre. Everybody was in a really good mood. So it gives the county a bit of a vibe, and plus it'll be great for tourists at that time of year. Maybe something for the Bairnies to take along to take part in and learn a bit more. So that's going to be on the agenda. Maybe I'll talk a bit more about that when we get down the line. Okay, on to other Caithness information. I had been handed the schedule for this year's Caithness County Show. It's an agricultural show, and this year it is held on the 16th and 17th of July up in Scrabster. For further information, you can go on to www.caithnessshow.co.uk. If you're into your cows or your sheep or your hens, that's the place to be. And they always have a WRI tent and an industrial tent, and the schedule is very worthwhile this year. I could give you a quick rundown. I'll not go through the baking or cooking, as I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk about the handicrafts rather than the cooking crafts. We've got child hand-knitted jumper, a baby's hand-knitted bonnet, booties and mitt set, child scarf and mitt set for 9 to 12 year olds. Best use of 50 grams wool. A machine sewn laundry bag with drawstring top. New from old, item made from a pair of denim jeans. A crochet cushion cover. A fabric toy. Item suitable for any kitchen, any craft. Cross stitch picture, tapestry picture, embroidered picture. Fascinator in any craft. Handmade jewellery item. Small hand sewn gift item, birthday card, doorstop, any craft, small handmade item in wood, article and any other craft not already in schedule. And finally, wall hanging in felt. There is other ones, photography and line and drawing and painting as well. But there also, it's on the schedule, would be widely available on Keith Ness. So it's always worth a look. Before then is the Canopy Show on the 19th of June. It has the same kind of idea, and some of the schedule from the county show is on the schedule for the Canopy Show. I don't have a website for the Canopy Show. Basically, you just have to go along and have a look. There is a premature baby cardigan and hat set. This is quite a good idea. It's in the charity section, and it will be donated to the special care baby unit down in Raigmore in Inverness. As my child was in this unit, I think it's a very worthy cause this year, although I haven't started it, but it cannot be that big. It's not premature babies, they're just wee peedy things. I've got a pattern, I've got the wool, and it's on the 19th of June. Ah, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. Right, so on to the blather. No, I've not started the blather yet. That's me just updating you on the cracking Keith Ness. Right, the blather this week is on inspiration. I'm wondering where everybody gets their inspiration for when they're crafting. For if you're a knitter, do you design your own? If you're a spinner, do you see a sheep walk past you and think, I'll have her wool? Do you see things and think, how can I put that down in painting? When my husband drives through Glencoe, he thinks he's going to climb it all, or what's the best route up? Whereas I think, how could I get that down in craft? As in, could I photograph it, or could I paint it, or could I needle felt it, or could I embroider it? So that is sort of where I'm heading with this week. When I started this essay, I had very little inspiration, other than the idea, but I've let it sit in my mind, and I've managed to find some stuff to say, which is kind of good, because otherwise you'd have a little bit of quiet time, and really, you've not downloaded it for that, have you? I often do that when I'm trying to think of an idea, especially for textile art, with a piece of material. I've maybe painted it or it's new and think, what am I going to do with that? And we often say, well, it's not spoken to me yet. And then all of a sudden, it does. It doesn't literally. For those who think that I live in Louise Lala Land, which I do, not everything speaks to me. But in a sense, you all of a sudden think, get a flash of creativity and think, yeah, you are a horse, you are a cow. You could be a picture of a penguin or something obscure. It just pops out of you all of a sudden. But I sort of got thinking about the sections of people. Sections isn't a very good word, but can't think of anything else to say. You kind of get the section that, well, don't craft and, well, they don't appreciate it and they wouldn't thank you for it. Which is fine. I'll let them get on with doing whatever they're into. Then there's a section that don't actually do it, they don't craft, but they do love to buy it. Now, we quite like them because they pay for things that we make, so we keep them on our side. And we don't encourage them to craft too much because otherwise they would stop buying the stuff. Are you getting my drift here? Although I'm really bad at that. If somebody shows an interest in me, oh, have you tried doing it? It's dead easy. Imogen and Naomi will... Yeah, you'll understand that one. Then I go on to the crafters who craft, but really only buy kits that are ready designed. My section is that I design some work, but I am happy to copy and follow other patterns. I'll get my ideas from books and magazines and the internet if I'm following a pattern. And then there are the designers, those that have been truly gifted and they have totally original ideas. They see a piece of material or a piece of paper and they instantly tell you that's peacock feathers, that is forest. I'll tell you, my husband, who I love dearly, I showed him a piece of material tonight that I will tell you about later, and I'll show you a picture of it. And he instantly told me what he thought it was. And I thought, I'd love to do that. It takes me a little bit longer. But I also have him to tell me, which I quite like that as well. I'm very spoiled with my husband. He's the ideas man. So I'm not putting anybody down, and I don't want to sound like I am patronising you on account of, I think, if you craft, excellent, let's talk about it. If you want to learn to do other things, that's excellent too. Let's learn together, or I'll teach you or you teach me. I'm all for the craft. I'm not into particularly competition. Saying that, I have a schedule for the county show, but that's an altogether different story. The main reason for the inspiration blether is on account of Mum and Sarah like to copy patterns. I have seen my mum go to cook a curry and then stop because she does not have turmeric. And when I sort of explained, well, that's only really for the colouring, she went, all right, okay, still didn't make it. But Mum has to have everything in the pattern or the recipe. And Sarah is kind of the same. And it's brilliant because they craft together. I'm not putting them down, and I'm sorry I have ribbed you, because I don't think you are any less competent. I think, in fact, you are fantastic and are better than me at a lot of things, which I am learning from you both. But you do make me laugh when you will not make the card because you don't have that specific stripy paper. I think it's called thinking outside the box. I totally understand, because I'm like that with knitting. I would say I was quite a novice knitter, and I see other people thinking, that's really cool, I can't do that. And when you break things down, well, yeah, you can. And if you substitute stuff, then yeah, you can. I'm a big substituter for cooking and also for crafting. Really, I'm just saying, if you can craft, go craft. That's the job. My own inspiration comes from my own surroundings, as in landscape and Caith Ness, particularly abandoned crofts buildings that are dotted around the county. If they're in shadow, they are fantastic, the sunset behind them. I love the stonework of them, and I want to put the one that is across the road from me down into pen and ink. And I will do it one day, but I find that if I see it, I can draw it. I do struggle putting things into abstract, but I'm working on it. I would love to be the person that sees the shoreline and they've all of a sudden arranged a whole collection around it. So inspiration can come from many forms. I'm very interested to hear where your inspiration comes from. So let me know and maybe I'll be inspired. So that's the blether this week. I'll go on to the collective. I'm going to talk about Vimto first, and then I'll talk about textile arts. So Vimto was at Naomi's last week, and we were all knitting. There was Mum, me, Sarah and Naomi. And Mum was doing her bolero waistcoat, and she is almost at the putting it together stage. Her friend had found her two extra balls of wool in her stash, so it was very good, and it's coming up quite a treat. Naomi was knitting, and I'm quite delighted with Naomi because she was only just learnt properly to knit, and she has decided to do herself a handbag, and she also was being shown by Sarah, who didn't knit before last year properly, how to do four needles, double-ended pinned needles. And she is knitting a handbag, and Sarah is knitting this in a Brown's Lamb's Pride worsted wool. These are the berry bags, and they are fantastic. So she's made about four or five. Well, she's not felted them, but they're coming on lovely. And when she had all the wool sitting in her house the other day, I was just, oh, that's lovely. Very colourful, very pretty. If you see one, buy one. Naomi is going for a natural, undyed wool. And I think that it's going to be just as cool. She was telling me today that she's at the handle stage. So, quite delighted with both of them. And, yeah, I'm probably sounding a bit patronising, but I'm really proud of you both. Make me a handbag. That was a subliminal message for them, by the way. I have the pattern, but they have the wool. And I was knitting the neckband on the dress with eyelets. I'm getting there, very slowly. I would be doing it tonight, but I'm doing this. She will be in it this week, I promise. because I'm kind of sick of the sight of it, bless her. She's going to be not wearing it very often because I'm so sick of seeing it. No, I won't be, because I'll be so delighted that I've done it. She'll never get out of it. In fact, I might even put her in the washing machine. She'll probably find that quite funny. Know what equipment you have in your stash. After wittering on last week about waiting for size 3.25mm needles so I could start something else, I went upstairs and I was looking for something, probably the next size up needle. And what did I find? Bamboo needles in size 3.25. Yeah, what an idiot. I've been knitting up that dress since October in 3.25 plastic needles, and although they're fine and they're very practical, I quite like using bamboo needles. So yes, I kicked myself up and down the craft room. And then also read the pattern. Read the pattern and then reread the pattern. Get somebody else to read you the pattern and then read the pattern again. Because when it says cast on your armhole onto circular needle, use a circular needle and don't use a straight one, like what I did. What an idiot. I was at the point of, oh, this isn't going on right. How come this is going quite stretched? I can't quite get this on. And then I look at the pattern book again, and clearly it says use a circular needle. So after much humming and hawing and raking around, oh, that's how I found I had these bamboo needles. I was looking for the circular needle. I got Mum and she helped me put it onto the circular needle. I was a bit confused. If I had taken off the end, would I be able to still knit to where I was ended up with? And yes, I was. So that was okay. So I am currently seaming it up on the side. I've got halfway down one side and then I'll have to do the other side. It's only two seams and then it's just sewing the ends and sewing a button and steal some pink ribbon from your friend Sarah. Nice spotty one would be lovely, thank you Sarah, because I know you'll be listening to this. Also, I have got the Surder Crofter baby jumper. The back has been finished and cast off. Quite pleased with it. It is stupendous the way it turns out. The wool itself, it's different to the baby bamboo I've been using, so it's kind of getting used to a different weight of wool. But it just looks stupendous. I'm really pleased with it. Although, read the instructions. Although it wasn't the fact I didn't have a problem with the instructions, it was the way I did it. I did the same mistake twice. It says a thumb cast on of 56 stitches. Oh, well, that's brilliant. Didn't have enough wool. And I didn't do this once, I did this twice. On both sides. The first side, I have cast it on, I've got it on, right, fine. I started knitting and I used the tail end. So when I got to the end of the tail, I realised that I would have to take it off. Well, I didn't, but I did in the end. And then finished doing that and it was okay, the back stuff. But well, I'm not going to make that mistake again. So I didn't make that mistake. I didn't have enough of the tail to cast on 56. I think I was at 53 and I ran out. And then the second line in, I made a mistake in my rib. And I thought, oh, I am not meant to do this. Take it out, leave it until you've finished seaming the jumper. It's telling you to do that. So that's what I've done. And plus it means I'll be really happy when I go back. I'll be all fresh. So it doesn't take very long at all when you can do stocking stitch on it and pick it up every now and again. And it all sits in the kitchen, so that's quite good. That was Vimto. So now I'm going to talk about textile arts. We have had not one, but two dyeing days. We enjoyed it that much, then we had another one. And that was Celia's idea to have another one, so woohoo, Celia. At first, I thought I'd had enough, but everybody was talking about over-dyeing, and I realised I hadn't quite used up all my white material that I had, and I thought, well, why not? So I'm very pleased with my second lot of results. I'm quite pleased with my first lot of results too. But there was something that I over-dyed. I have ironed up the first lot. I've taken a photograph, so it's sitting there. I've got to iron up the second lot tonight, and I'll take a photograph and put them up as well. There is just an absolute rainbow of colours. We've done crochet threads as well. We've done some scrim. We've done a lot of cotton, and I've also done an old linen tablecloth. The linen tablecloth is a sentimental piece of material. Mum went off to Malta years ago with her friend Jean, who is sadly no longer with us. So this reminds me of their lovely holiday that they had. And it has been dyed an olive green and a lemon yellow. It looks hideous. Mum was not impressed, but I was very pleased with its tonal changes in it, and also I know what I'm going to do with it, whereas Mum just thought I was going to use it for a tablecloth, whereas no, I'm not, because I don't own that table anymore. I have read an article in Quilting Arts, and it is using an old linen handkerchief, and it has been dyed, and then machine embroidered over, and then hand embroidered over, and I'm quite, I remember thinking, oh, I like that. I wonder if I've got a linen handkerchief somewhere. So I have this tablecloth in green and yellow, and I will be doing it. But I will be adding it to the list. I think I might put a list on the website somewhere so you can see the things of I want to do that, as I never ever do them. So that was the textile that I've got back. The process itself was fairly straightforward. It's not rocket science. It's just been shown what to do and having everything to hand. We did learn from the first dyeing day what extra stuff to take with us and what we didn't need for the second dyeing day. Number one, have a massive great big tablecloth that can be wiped clean when you put all your dyes on it. Number two, have rubber gloves. My hands are still blue and I had rubber gloves, but it was because I couldn't bother going through and washing them. I didn't tell anybody that. I just sort of said, oh, I took them off to do something. Yeah, I look like a bit of a smurf. So the process is quite easy. You soak your material in soda ash and water beforehand for about 4 hours, or if you do it from dry material, you have to soak it up to 4 hours afterwards. The dye is mixed in with salt solution and some warm water, and the warm water activates the dye into making it go into the water, which makes it more pliable for going onto fabric or fibre. It's just a concoction, and it looked like I was drinking Kool-Aid if you're in America, or margarita if you're not. It was brilliant. We had been using some washing up liquid bottles, old ones, and then I just started using a plastic cup because I found it easier to mix it up using the plastic spoons that we were using. And we've pretty much used up all the dye that we had. It was procyon dye, and this used on cotton and linen and muslin. Fabric that can be dyed easily. Polyester, it wasn't taking it as well. So it was amazing. Some people had batik, which is putting wax on beforehand and then putting the dye in over the top of that. There was pebbles had been tied into material, glass beads or small pebbles. First day I had pebbles, and this does take quite a while to get reorganised. Juliana had an amazing piece of material, whereas she had the pebbles. And she did see herself, it looks like the intestines of a sheep. It's quite disgusting. There's all these little baubles sitting in the tray. And then she dyed these a lime green colour. And underneath, she soaked it up with a purpley colour. And then the other half of the material, in the same tray, it was a mix of both the dyes. So she's given herself, and I think this was about 1.5 to 2 metres wide, 1 metre of the pattern material and 1 metre of the corresponding material to go. And I thought it was a really good technique. If you're a quilter, then I could see exactly how that would come in very handy. There was a lot of folding going on. There was some shibori technique where you fold a piece of material and you stitch it down, or you can tie it down with sort of a crochet thread. You wrap it round a pipe, such as an old drain pipe, and then you soak it up in a bucket, and it gives a very lovely pleated effect. Some of it can be subtle depending on what colours of dye you used. I did the pebble technique, and Sandy helped me collect the pebbles. He was a little bit obsessed about it, and he was delighted to see the results. And also there was a lot of folding going on. I tied things, and it's kind of tie-dye, but quite interesting when it comes out. I'm not a hippie. I've never been a hippie. I like bright colours. Don't tend to wear bright colours that much. Say she's sitting in a bright red, yellow, blue, rainbow hat, but it's cold upstairs. So I have a palette of colours and I'm so pleased with them, and thank everybody for helping me with them. If you want to know more, just ask. I had ironed my last lot last week, but I didn't know what to do. I do have April's project from Textile Arts to do of colour discharged velvet. And I have started it, but I need to get the bleach on it. And I will leave that to this week because, of course, the end of April is coming up. So I was making envelopes. I have a wonderful book called The Envelope Mill by Helia Harvey. And you can still get this on Amazon. It was published in 1994. I've had it since about 1999. And inside it has three plastic templates on how to make envelopes and a book of describing what to do. And it's recycled magazines and other paper products into beautifully crafted envelopes. So basically you use your old calendars or magazines and you cut them up and stick them. So it's a bit Blue Peter, which I like incredibly. That's how I got into crafting. I cut things up, I stick them down, which I like. And it's recycling, so it is environmentally friendly. And it is really nice when you get an envelope like this through the door and it's not a bill. I also like to tailor it for specific people. For instance, my husband would like fishing, so he would get one of a fishing boat. And also, my mind is going on to all the baby things I have to make, and I have some blue wool, and I want just quite a small cardigan for a boy. With the summer coming up, I thought cardigans might be a bit easier or more suitable than a jumper. So I have found a cardigan online from Ravelry, and it is start from the top down, and I have a pattern. I can start doing that as soon as possible. I'm going to wait until I finish Daisy's dress first. But it made me wonder, can you crochet for a boy? Thoughts, please. Also, I have made a card for my friend Aileen. It was her birthday a couple weeks ago, and she loves sheep. She loves all things sheepy, and I tried to get her a sheep card, so I needle-felted her a sheep. I was quite pleased with it, actually, and I might make another one for somebody else that likes sheep. I think that's all I have to say this week, apart from thank you very much for listening. The music is still Mark Gunn, Wild Mountain Time from musicalley.com. If you'd like to contact me on the website of Podbean, it's www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com or caithnesscraftcollective@googlemail.com or I'm on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt. So thanks for listening and keep on crafting.